Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I am Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 81. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our Bible verse, our Bible passage for this episode is Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, which says, "But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Beloved, our strategic Christian leadership quote for today and for this episode is from Colin Powell, who said, "Great leaders are almost always great simplifiers who can cut through arguments, debates, and doubt to offer a solution everybody can understand and get with." Dear friends, in this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning by Dr. Ari Malfers. Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. Our topic today is part one of Harmony, Why Humility is better than tolerance, from Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. He continues as follows, before closing with a few tips on how to cultivate humility in our personal and professional dealings, I want to describe a crucial benefit of humility at the societal level in a morally and religiously diverse culture such as ours. Humility is a much needed key to harmony, and that is so true. And may I add that in this day and time, this is so needed, because when God wants us to get right with Him, the first thing He tells us to is to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek His face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and to get back to our first love. The danger of conviction. He goes on, the recent new atheists, Richard Dawkins, the recent new atheists, Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, and Christopher Hitchens, have brought into sharp focus the pernicious effect of monopolistic religious and moral viewpoints. Hitchens speaks for many when he writes, "We believe with certainty that an ethical life can be lived without religion, and we know for a fact that the corollary holds true, that religion has caused innumerable people not just to conduct themselves no better than others, but to award themselves permission to behave in ways that would make a brothel keeper or an ethnic cleanser raise an eyebrow." As I write these words and as you read them, people of faith are in their different ways planning your and my destruction and the destruction of all hard-won human attainments that I have touched upon. Religion poisons everything. Often the answer to the harmful effects of absolute truth claims is argued to be tolerance. If only people would tolerate each other, the logic goes, they would get on just fine. Tolerance in this context usually means something like agreeing that all viewpoints are equally true or valid in an attempt to establish this concept on the world stage. The 48th UN General Assembly declared that 1995 would be the International Year of Tolerance. Of course, may I say that Christians cannot tolerate sin and evil, nor can they tolerate false gods and idolatry. The need for such a year was clear. Intolerance is one of the greatest challenges confronting us on the eve of the 21st century, said the UN mission statement. Intolerance is both an ethical and political issue. It is a fact that in most societies today, many different religions, cultures, and lifestyles coexist. It is essential to recall that the basic human values that unite us are stronger than the forces that pull us apart. The supporting documentation offered a striking set of definitions of the virtue. Tolerance is the recognition and acceptance of individual differences. Tolerance is recognition that no individual culture, nation, or religion has the monopoly of knowledge or truth. Tolerance is a form of freedom, freedom from prejudice, freedom from dogma. A tolerant person is master of his own opinions and actions. What I find interesting about this definition is the way it seeks to establish harmony between people of differing views by asking them to soften convictions. Only by rejecting dogma and accepting contrary views as valid can we hope to get on with each other. That is the gist of the document. With due respect to the careful thought that went into the International Year for Tolerance, I think we can do better than to ask people of strong conviction or even dogma to relax their claims to knowledge and truth and believe something and agree to something that they don't believe in and that they don't agree with. Until next time, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. Help us to choose humility and walk in humility and not in pride. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.